helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
So welcome to another episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest today in studio is Corey Whitaker. Corey, welcome.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, well, a couple things to kind of get out of the way before we jump into our conversation. We're going to do something a little different. This has never happened in the history of this podcast. Well, first of all, we never pay for the guests. I mean, they don't get any
honor.
Yeah, well, you did, but you asked for a fee.
Man.
The condition was that you got to bring a dad joke or tell a dad joke or two.
Fair enough. So
we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. I'm going to tell a dad joke. Maybe we can have a little bit of a, you know, little competition or here.
Let's go.
Yeah, okay. I think you're the master dad joke. So I brought one. You've got one or several. All right. So we're going to start off with a couple of dad jokes, and you be the judge, and I'm sure he's going to win, but give me your best.
Well, before I tell a dad joke, you know, on the way here, I stopped at an ATM.
Oh.
And it was one of those new ATMs that just gives out coins.
Hmm.
And I don't know why no one ever thought of this before. It just makes sense.
I shouldn't laugh. It'll encourage
you. Just encourage me.
Yeah, it'll encourage you. All right, I only brought one, so I'll lay that in mind. Did you know that bread is like the sun?
I did not know that.
Yeah, it rises in the yeast, but it settles in the waste.
Very nice.
That's all I got.
Yeah. You know, I love puns. I love dad jokes. Mm. And one time I submitted 10 puns to this dad joke competition, and I really thought with that many, I was sure to be a winner. Sadly, no pun intended.
So, womp, womp.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last one. Before, why did the old man fall down the well?
I don't know why.
Because he couldn't see that well.
Mm. Okay. Listen, before we lose the audience.
Maybe we should move on.
Yeah, because they may just move on to a different podcast. Well, if that's all it took to get a couple of dad jokes, it's worth it because I'm glad you're on this podcast and in this conversation. We've, a little background, Corey and I have spent a couple of days together with other field staff all across the country. We gather together what we call a Connections Conference. It provides an opportunity to be resourced and encouraged and supported and refreshed because just like you all, as if you're medical school, dental school, if you're a practicing healthcare professional, sometimes you can feel like, am I the only one out there living my faith out in healthcare? Am I all alone? And that's even more acutely felt by those in the vocational ministry with CMDA. They can feel like they're the only one in the city. They're the only one doing what they're doing day in, day out. But it's good to know that we have a community. We're in this together, and we can support each other. So we learn from each other. We support each other. We laugh together. We enjoy each other's company, and we're thankful for each other. And I'm thankful for you. You've been with CMDA for about 8 years now. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you're in the Raleigh-Durham area, what we affectionately call the Triangle.
Yeah.
Give us background a little bit about what brought you to CMDA. What's your background before CMDA? How did you connect with us? And yeah, tell us a little bit about how you got started.
Sure. So most of my adult career was in youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple years up north, and then we moved to Durham in 2001,
okay,
where I served at a church for about 17 years.
Wow.
And we were just, the church was looking at transitioning some things, including to a new denomination. Mm-hmm. I think I was kind of getting a little burned out on youth ministry at that point. I've been doing it for 27 years. And so as I had announced to the church that I was going to, kind of be moving on, looking for something else, this role became open.
Mm-hmm.
The guy before me, Paul.
Yeah, I remember Paul.
Yeah, he and his wife were moving overseas for some professional stuff. And so one of the local council members attends my church, and he just said, look, I don't know if this is of interest to you. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know what it is. And so so I interviewed, we talked about it and explained it, and I interviewed, and they were really wanting to focus on student ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And since that was really my career, just with students a little younger than that, decided to give it a shot for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, 2 years, that was 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years later, the whole COVID thing hit and kind of broke everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we, rebuilt pretty quickly coming out of that, mm-hmm. as soon as we were allowed to gather again and everything, God really yeah. kind of brought folks back together.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been yeah. the journey so far.
Yeah. yeah. I think if my memory serves me well, when we first met, you were just beginning. You showed up, I think, was it a Connections conference?
It was. I was not even working officially yet.
That's right.
Down at Ridgecrest.
That's right. And that came before NatCon. So you got exposed to CMDA pretty fast, yeah. pretty much in a hurry, kind of thrown into the deep end of the pool without any floaties. And so you had to learn quickly, of course. Yeah. Well, tell me, you know, I've been on your campuses. I've been to some of your events. I've been to one of your banquets, maybe two, a couple events, certainly. Mm-hmm. And it's encouraging to see what God is doing. I hear stories. I see the lives being transformed and impacted. Tell us, what are you seeing? What's God doing in the Triangle area?
Well, I really feel like, particularly with our student ministries, because that's our focus. Mm-hmm. Certainly we work with practitioners and we have events and opportunities for them to connect and mm-hmm. Be a part of the growing body of Christ in healthcare yeah. In the Triangle. But God's just really blessed us, particularly in the last couple of years, with some really strong student leadership, because that's mm-hmm. really, that kind of determines the way things are going.
Mm-hmm.
If we have really strong student leaders, then lots of great things happen.
Yeah.
We've also brought on additional staff this year, Joanna, mm-hmm. Part-time, very forward-facing, not mm-hmm. just administrative, and that's been helpful. So we've mm-hmm. added a couple of chapters this year, PA school down at Campbell and
right.
PA school at Duke, which we had and COVID killed, and okay. so that's kind of a resurrection of a chapter.
I think I went to the PT. You had a PT?
The PT school, and that's 2-3 years
yeah.
old now at
there.
Duke, the PT school. Yeah. And that was just, that and the PA school was literally God just bringing students to me. They
yeah.
just reached out, they Googled us and found out what CMDA was and said, hey, what's going on here? And I said, nothing, you want to mm-hmm. start it?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
God provided people who said yes to that yeah. and have done a great job. And so yeah. we're now, you know, second and third years of leadership
yeah.
Building into that. So that's really exciting, because that's really the heart of our ministry
yeah.
is building into students and then sending them out around the country and the world.
Yeah, you got chapters at Duke, Campbell, UNC.
Yep.
Where else?
Well, that's our region.
Yeah.
We started years ago a chapter down in Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that was somebody brought Dr. Jonathan Salo
mm-hmm.
And Dr. Turk. Kind of into my radar, mm-hmm. and as our students are doing rotations around the state
mm-hmm.
more and more, we're trying to build up the CMDA community right. and all the places they're going. So Charlotte, Asheville, Greensboro, Wilmington.
And some of that is on Wake Forest too, right?
Yeah, Grant has done more of the work with Wake Forest.
Oh,
but part
he?
Of the reason that the Charlotte chapter started mm-hmm. was because they built that new branch
yeah.
of Wake Forest Medical
That's
School.
That's what down. I was asking.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah.
And so they wanted to have... and this is a shout out to you if you don't have CMDA in your area
mm.
and you've got medical students doing rotations in your area.
Right.
Their vision was really, let's build a community so that when
yeah.
the Wake Forest Med School starts, we're already up and running. And
right.
that's exactly what happened. And they're doing a great job right. down there as that community grows, as UNC and Wake Forest are sending more students that way.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of times these, like UNC will send for the third and fourth year, they'll send them into other communities all throughout
yeah.
North Carolina. And if there's nobody there to really kind of capture them, they're kind of left.
Right.
I think Asheville is kind of one that we've sensed that, you know, it'd be great to have.
And we've tried there.
I know,
and,
it's
and challenging. Yeah, it's just not come together. Morganton's the other place that some mm. UNC students are going. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see just kind of a statewide
yeah.
community in North Carolina. I was talking with one of our physicians about
yeah.
that not too long ago, and he said, yeah, I can fly all around the state. You know, let's go do it. Let's go,
yeah.
You know, initiate some of these groups that they'll run
yeah.
themselves in, but let's get them up and going.
Yeah.
And so Wilmington's on the radar because
mm-hmm.
they're building a new med school there that's
yeah.
going to be a family med focus. So we have an undergrad chapter that just started there.
Mm.
But if you're in the Wilmington area, I would love to connect with you, because we would love to have that community up and running before that med school starts.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
The world needs your healing hands and your heart. Join thousands of healthcare professionals at the Global Missions Health Conference, November 12th through 14th in Louisville. Be equipped. Be inspired. Register now at medicalmissions.com.
Exciting to see just how it continues to grow. High Points will come on the
radar.
High
Points, another, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, so many opportunities. You have a ministry assistant.
Yeah, Joanna Murray.
Joanna, sorry, remember her name. And then, and I should have mentioned too, coming alongside you is just a great leadership team of healthcare professionals,
yeah,
physicians, dentists, and the like, who give a lot of support and make the work possible.
Yeah.
So the team that you have has been there for some time. I mean, it's fairly well established, hasn't it been?
Yeah, so a lot of my faculty advisors have been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
And a lot of the folks involved. My board, most of them have been around for quite a while, but we've got some new board members,
mm-hmm,
who just finished up a fellowship and a residency.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in an effort to reach out to younger practitioners,
mm-hmm,
and just kind of keep fresh ideas coming.
Yeah.
As times change and opportunities change,
yeah,
we want to make sure we're hearing about those, and
yeah,
so we don't want to live in our bubble.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that we're being creative and really knowing that God's being creative, and we're just trying to like keep up with Him.
Yeah.
So
it's exciting to see what God is doing and continues to grow. It certainly is probably you feel at times it's outstripping your capacity. I'm sure of that. But then you're just trusting the Lord for continued resources for God to raise up the needed people and resources, because certainly you're a one man show in a lot of ways, and it's not possible for you to be everywhere. But I could see the great opportunities that are there, and so it's got to be a lot of. I've been to the banquet. What an exciting event as well. A lot of energy, a lot of momentum. People are very blessed, and especially to have someone like yourself who's an full-time area director, and that's again a gift that many communities may not have,
mm-hmm,
but it really is a force multiplier when someone like yourself can be laser focused.
Yeah.
But again, what you're doing best, and that is equipping the saints. You're equipping others, volunteers, others to do the ministry as well too. So it's not just you alone.
Right. Yeah. My role is, particularly with students, is not so much to do the ministry
exactly
as it is, as you were just saying, to equip them. Because then they can lead for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And they can impact their communities wherever they go around the world. So we really try to build into them.
Mm-hmm.
I like to be really encouraging, trying to build them up. And they do a great job. It's not flattery.
Mm-hmm.
It's God really raises up, you know, people that are in the middle of graduate school, a medical program, dental program, pharmacy,
mm-hmm,
whichever, for them to take the additional time to invest in their classmates, to have leadership, you know, meetings with each other, to reach out to faculty and those in the community to come speak, to organize mission trips, all that kind of stuff. That's a lot of additional work.
Yeah.
And so the people that tend to be our student leaders,
mm-hmm,
they're just very mature in their faith and very understanding of God's calling on their life.
Mm.
They're still trying to figure some of it out,
sure,
but they know that God's calling them to not just sit by,
mm-hmm,
but to be an active part of leading in the body of Christ on their campus. And so, man, I get to meet some great students that I know I'm going to be hearing about 20 years from now when I'm in the nursing home. You know, they're going to be on TV.
Still telling dad jokes, of course,
well,
in the nursing home.
That'll be great granddad jokes by that point.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's a joy to have the privilege of being able to interact,
mm-hmm,
with these godly young men and women.
Yeah.
And then the faculty I get to work with, our faculty advisors, I mean, they're brilliant people.
Right.
They're godly people. They are awfully busy people often. And so I'm blessed to have an hour of their time a week,
mm-hmm,
or a couple hours a month, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful for that. It makes it difficult.
Yeah.
That's one of the challenges as well, is it's, you know, kind of
grabbing
little pieces here and there and trying to pull things together.
Yeah.
But that's just part of that's just part of the ministry. That's just part of what we do.
Yeah.
I love to network people. I love to say,
I know you're a big networker.
Hey, Bill, meet Grant.
Mm-hmm.
You guys go do your thing. Like, I don't have to micromanage it.
Right.
I just want to get, you know, the finger and the hand connected and then let you do your thing.
Yeah. No, you're really good at that. I think a catalyst, as I often see it, you're good at putting those pieces together, connecting dots, making introductions. And really, like I said, amplifying your impact, because you can't be all places at once and you can't be doing all things, but you are mobilizing and helping others to execute on ministry. But you now mentioned a little bit about challenges, as many blessings, and you and that in the ministry there is extremely blessed with so much and resources and the like. There are real challenges you face all across the board. Certainly, your capacity is a challenge, but this oftentimes I'll hear you mention just the transgender issues, the moral injury stuff that's going on, the physicians at risk of losing their job, perhaps they have lost their job, yeah. Reputations in jeopardy, students feeling oppressed and persecuted and feeling like they can't live their faith out in a faithful, genuine way. There's a lot of pressure to conform, and there's a lot going on there. Why don't you just paint us a picture? What are some of the real challenges that you see happening in the lives of the students and the attendings that are part of the ministry?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of two categories. One category would be structural, and that's just the busyness of life, the requirements of the job, the scheduling. You know, we've often recently wanted to start doing some ministry with nurses, for example, but nursing schedules are so random as far as trying to plan something to go on regularly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you pick a Wednesday. Some nurses work 3 days a week. You know, some are night shifts, some are weekends, even finding a time to connect, or you're trying to connect with some doctors, and maybe the group you're looking at are surgeons, and they can't always control their schedule. You know, so they're stuck in surgery, and they intended to come to lunch, and they can't come to lunch. And so I think some of it is just structural in medicine. There is just a busyness and a lack of control of your own schedule.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of folks that, you know, I'll meet with some doctors one-on-one, and they would love to be involved. And they say, well, I'll see this on your schedule, and we wanted to come, and then I got scheduled. They can't control their schedules, and the students same way.
Yeah.
Oh, we wanted to, you know, I'll plan a lunch. They'll plan a lunch, and I'll plan to bring lunch. Really good at delivering food, by the way. It's my retirement plan. And then all of a sudden, two-thirds of the group isn't there because the school put a mandatory meeting. And so we lost all our second years, you know, or something like that. So I think that's one of the challenges. But more of what I think you're alluding to is the
worldview stuff.
The worldview stuff that has gotten burdensome for a lot of physicians and, you know, everyone across the healthcare spectrum, particularly within the hospital systems, because in our area, they're very intentional on pursuing certain worldviews that go against what we believe as Christians. So, for example, a part of a men's Bible study at UNC, and they were just sharing about how they've gone through their reproductive health block and how everything they read was just very one-sided on a extreme pro-choice position, not even a moderate view, but just an extreme, you know, abortion anytime for any reason, and that's a right, that's a human right, is what they're reading. And there's no counter view to it. And so they're struggling with, well, when do I speak up? Do I speak up? When do I speak up? If I speak up, is it going to hurt my career? Can I trust God with protecting me? Because I can't let that stand, you know, what's said in class. And so then we talk about, well, if your goal is to change your faculty, you know, to change their mind, go meet with them after class. If it's your classmates, then mutter something under your breath on the way out about how, man, that was one-sided. You know, I wish we'd hear some pro-life stuff, and let your friends hear it, and because that will start a conversation, and then you get that opportunity. Right. So it's not whether you counter it or not, but how are you wise in doing it in a way that is not going to just, because, you know, I guarantee if you challenge a faculty member who's way in a different place on worldview issues, you're losing. You're losing that argument. The challenge with physicians is this, is a lot of them know there's stuff going on down the hall in their program, in their department, that is hugely ungodly and damaging. How do they walk down the hall and make that stop? And that's a real, I remember years ago at the CMDA conference, I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he was pro-life. He got up and spoke about having a theology of being fired.
Yeah, I think I've heard John Sunstreet actually say that a lot.
Is that who it was?
Yeah. I think it might have been.
And because he had been demoted. He didn't get fired, but he got demoted not for speaking out on pro-life issues, but just for being found out that he was pro-life, from what I remember. And he said, look, you know, some issues of morality are big enough. You know, God doesn't promise us our position and our rank and our, you know, wherever we are in the hierarchy, because medicine's so hierarchical.
Yeah.
It's all about where you're on that ladder. To their credit, a lot of physicians I know have stepped down from positions. They've gone backwards to be able to free up their time to do ministry, to be able to free up their time. Our faculty advisor at Duke wants to do more mission work. He's got this vision for doing some various types of things over in Asia, Southeast Asia. So he's actually back down from where he was as chief of surgery in his department so that he wouldn't have all the responsibilities. And I think that's a beautiful model. Not everyone's called to that, but to be willing to say, you know, pursuing my faith is more important than my rank. And that gets tricky when it's moral issues and when it's, you know, when Duke says, for example, we want to be the transition center of the South. Like that was there at one point.
One point, maybe not.
Not sure they're broadcasting that anymore.
Yeah.
But, man, that puts, you know, pediatricians, plastic surgeons, you know, endocrinologists.
Notice.
I mean, it puts all these Christian – I feel like if we could get them all to stand up at the same time to say no, we could make a change.
Yeah, but everybody's looking
man, you know, and I get it. You got a mortgage. Kids are in college. You know, it's not a light thing to say. And I'm standing on the outside saying, you need to put your job on the line because they're doing horrible things to children in your hospital.
But
so good luck with that.
Yeah, good luck. I can't
pay your mortgage if
you're not losing your job.
If you do that, I can't. Now, I could lose my job. These issues, this podcast, you know, the wrong person listens to it and they says, oh, that's what CMDA is bringing to campus.
Well, there you go.
We don't want that here.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to trust God with that at some point and say, I need to push forward. What the damage it does, particularly to students, is it creates this darkness over their lives. This uncertainty of how to deal with it. This sometimes it raises real moral questions for them that they haven't fully thought through. And so they think, well, where really am I on end of life issues? Is it really wrong to kill a chronically ill patient in pain in their 90s who has Alzheimer's? Shouldn't we shorten their life?
Right.
And so part of our role is to help them think that through in a biblical way by bringing in the smart people who have worked this through. You know, I'm just a dummy.
Yeah.
I'm good at finding those smart people
who
can come in and say, look, I do palliative care. You know, Farr Curlin, I'll give him a shout out. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
He's a palliative care doctor and ethicist. And, you know, he can come in and give this well-reasoned, well-thought-out, biblical understanding of the value of life, even when the physical life is diminished.
I was gonna give you kudos on this, because that's what I see you do so well, is you bring in those insiders, those experts, so to speak, who speak to students. I must get once a month at least something you're sending out promoting an opportunity, somebody coming in to speak, some kind of event. That is addressing these issues head on. That's equipping your attendings as well as your students, and I think providing that level of care and resourcing and helping them work through these issues in an environment that's safe and they're doing it in community with one another too. So,
well, the beautiful thing about the body of Christ, you know, we're not just bringing in an ethicist to talk about ethics is that it's creating relationships that will sustain beyond med school. So Dr. Susan Bain, who is OBGYN, and she's with Apolog, and she's been working with our students who just got through this block. She met with them before it to help prep them for it, and she's given out her number. She said, "You ever have a question, email me, or you know, text me, call me, whatever." And I know that they've done that, and she has responded. And she told me, she said, "You know, I'm far enough along in my career now where I want to be working with students. I want to be, you know, this is what I want to be doing. I don't need to do as much clinical work, you know, anymore." And so it's just really cool to see, you know, God's put on her heart, look, I got a lot to give, because she really does. She's brilliant. And I love these students, and I want to equip them mm-hmm. for the future. Again, that goes well beyond my influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these students will be gone in a year or two.
Right.
They'll be out on rotations. Hopefully, they have a relationship with her the rest of their career, you know, or the rest of her career. I guess she'll be done before they will. And so that's really the hope, is to, you know, it's this vision of the body of Christ connected across the clinics and the campuses. And just feeding each other and encouraging each other, holding each other up when they're falling down, celebrating together, grieving together, seeing each other in church.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Refreshing, spiritually rejuvenating, a time of renewal. That's how last year's attendees described it. The CMDA Midwest Fall Conference returns September 25th through 27th at Maranatha near Muskegon, Michigan. This year, Dr. Kristen Collier on Christian boldness and Bob Mason on caring for your patient's spiritual health alongside the physical. Earn up to 6 CME credits. Bring the kids. There's a children's program during every session. Students come free with a promo code. Register today at cmda.org/events.
Well, that's another thing, too. You really are very intentional with getting the churches involved and connected.
Absolutely.
Why is that? Just explain your rationale behind all that.
I think the simplest explanation is I believe the local congregation is the best expression of the body of Christ.
Mm.
And I believe our role at CMDA is to feed that.
Mm.
So we are taking care of a little segment, a small demographic
mm-hmm.
of every expression of the body of Christ. You know, there's probably healthcare people in almost every church
mm-hmm.
in Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Cary,
mm-hmm.
you know, Wake Forest, all around us, down in Holly Springs, Lillington. And so part of our role is to build those folks up so they mm-hmm. are a better part of their local congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they will persist in a congregation long before or long after they're done with student ministry. Now, mm-hmm. hopefully they will be with CMDA for a lifetime.
Sure.
You know, that's our vision. It's not just a student ministry. It's
right.
the beginning of a lifetime of being connected with CMDA.
Yeah.
But their local weekly context mm-hmm. for worship, for discipleship, is the local church.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win. We build up the local church by building up their people and taking care of their people.
Mm-hmm.
And they build up CMDA by providing resources, by providing a space,
mm-hmm.
by providing a speaker,
mm-hmm.
by inviting us in.
Yeah.
So a local church will do something on vocation and witness that's not medical specific,
mm-hmm.
but it applies to our folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, send it to me. I'll send it out
mm-hmm.
because it's going to help who I'm called to serve. Likewise, we did something on marriage and ministry
mm-hmm.
a couple months ago, and local church at Waypoint hosted it. It brings people in there. They get to see the church. They're like, hey, these are nice folks. And even if they don't end up at Waypoint, it helps their reputation in the community.
Mm.
You know, oh, we were there. That was a great place.
Mm.
And so that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be, right? And so one of the recent things that really kind of came to mind for me, you know, doing youth ministry back in the day, youth ministry is very competitive.
How so?
Like if I have a kid and he starts going to your group.
Oh,
I'm mad. You're stealing my sheep.
Oh, yeah.
Give
that,
him back.
Yeah.
You know, I want Timmy back. He's going to my camp this summer, not yours.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
And so, but churches are like that.
Mm.
If they're honest, they're like that.
Sure.
You know, we're kind of going for the same folks.
Mm.
I really see part of what we can do locally, at least with the churches that are involved with us, is to get them coming into each other's buildings without worrying about that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go across town because I want to hear this doctor speak to an issue that I care about. And, hey, this is a nice church, too. It's nice to see the larger body of Christ in the triangle. I'm going to go down to Cary to do this. I'm going to go down to Shepherd's Church or whatever. And so I think our role then goes beyond CMDA.
Right, it's kingdom-minded.
And again, I love doing that. So we're going to do a pastor's lunch this summer.
Okay.
We have 8 churches that are church partners, which means they in some way either let us meet there, they support us financially, they'll promote our stuff, or all the above, that kind of thing. And so we're going to invite the pastors and the ministry coordinators in the larger churches that we're involved with, as well as some churches we'd like to see involved, and give them a nice lunch, you know, have a nice time together, get them to know each other.
Yeah.
And have a little vision together of what we can do in the triangle. And we'll cast some vision about CMDA. I mean, that's kind of the purpose of it. But the larger purpose, again, is connecting the body of Christ.
Yeah, yeah. I saw a sample of that just at my table at the banquet. There were a lot of ministers and people within those church partnerships coming together. So, yeah, it creates a much a kingdom mindset that is, I think, definitely much more. If we try to do this segmented and in isolation, we're have very limited scope and reach. But when you do it together, it just, again, becomes a force multiplier to begin to really see this area reach with the gospel, people's lives being transformed, becoming disciples. And I think it's real powerful. I want to, as a national organization, do more, and I know our leadership does as well, more with connecting with the local church. And we're doing that at different levels, seminary levels, training centers, trying to engage the church because it's such an integral part. And we're a parachurch. We're meant to come alongside. We're not a surrogate. And honestly, too, it could some our healthcare professionals, our students are so busy. Sometimes it's hard to get in front of them. But if one of our fellow leaders, Alan, was trying to create healthcare fellowships within churches, figuring
exactly.
They're in their church. They don't have to be. If we call them to something that we're doing, they oftentimes have to step away from their families or do something that's uniquely different in their schedule. But if they're already going to church, do something, kind of get in the way of where they're already going, you know?
Yeah, because they're short on time.
They're short on time.
To begin with. So instead of reinventing the wheel or adding another wheel.
Right.
That's why you and I have talked about this. I've downloaded faith prescriptions on at least half a dozen thumb drives.
Mm-hmm.
And I hand them out to, small group leader, ministers, or associate pastors, or senior pastors, whoever I'm meeting with at these churches, and saying, look, here's a ready-made Sunday school class for you to pull together the healthcare community within your congregation for the purpose of building them up so that they get to see each other, and particularly in bigger churches.
Exactly, yeah,
particularly. So I went to something at a local church the other week about faith and work, or at work, and I'm sitting there at a table, and the lady across from me, we're introducing ourselves, and they said, why are you here? You don't go to church here, because I'd already explained that. And and I said, I'm here to connect with healthcare folks. And the lady across from me had bought the practice of one of the guys who's involved locally, the dental practice with CMDA. It was like small world. Well, as soon as she does that, someone else at the table says, oh, I didn't know you were a dentist. I'm a nurse. And so, man, if we could pull that together more easily, what they could do with missions, what they could do with reaching out to the local campuses and hospitals is just tremendous. Mm. They've got folks walking around that don't know each other because they're, once you pass a couple hundred people, you're starting to not know each other at least what people do. And so if we can help with that, but even in the smaller churches, if you only have three healthcare people, but if we can help them connect with, help this PA get to know, the surgeon that she works with is actually a believer.
Right.
Man, what a connection that is. And they can pray together before surgery or whatever. So there's so many applications. That's why I love working with the local church. I have personal reasons for my history, other than I worked in one.
Sure.
But even from my childhood, I was just in some great churches that really blessed my family, took care of us in difficult times. And so I love God's creation of the local church.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more I can feed that, the better. And, down the road, if our culture keeps changing the way it does, campuses may be a really difficult, if not impossible, place to do Christian ministry.
Right.
And so I want those things in place so I can say, hey, First Baptist Church, how would you like to host the Duke Med School group?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Blacknall Prez, would you guys do the PT group? Hey, Waypoint, would you guys take the dental school at UNC?
Yeah.
And be able to have that and have them excited about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Have them saying, man, we've been waiting for them to come to us.
I think that's a good idea because we don't know how the future will
And it could be wrong. It could be 50 years from now, but I want to be ready.
Well, and even if that doesn't come to the full fruition, there's still all the value.
Well, everything else is true.
Everything else is true, too. And it's such a valuable thing. And So this is good. I'm glad that we had this opportunity we're having a conversation that people get to eavesdrop. I want students and trainees and others who are listening in particular to be encouraged that, I don't know where their ministry's like. They may have the blessing of having a full-time or part-time area director in their area that's helping to resource them, and I'm sure they can sense that blessing. They may not have that, but, eventually they're going to go through their training years. They're going to go into communities. One of the exciting things we've seen from ministries like yourself, San Antonio, talking to Mitzi and others, as they're raising up, they're getting a picture of what this can look like. They're seeing it, the community, the training, the equipping, the fellowship, and they're taking it and they're saying, I want this into my community. So I guess I just encourage, if you don't have something fully developed as we're discussing, which is not typical. There's only probably a couple dozen ministries like yourself that we have CMDA throughout the U.S. Trust and see what the Lord might do. I mean, it's exciting.
It just starts with two or three people committed to it.
That's right.
And then from there, God can do all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And like I said, with some of the new groups that I've started, I didn't start them. God brought people to me.
Yeah.
And so I would really encourage you, if you're listening to this podcast, mm-hmm. It's a student podcast. So I imagine most people listening are students.
Most.
If you have a local chapter or local student group, mm-hmm. dig in, get involved, mm-hmm. commit to it. Mm-hmm. If you don't, see if there's one in another program in your school. Mm-hmm. You might be in nursing, there might be in med school one. Mm-hmm. Go to the med school one. Mm-hmm. They'll be fine with you coming. Or go to the mm-hmm. pharmacy school one. And if you want to start one, start with the regional directors. Mm-hmm. If you're not sure if there's any kind of mm-hmm. local organization, if it's just a student group. And then commit to it. And if you're listening to this and you're no longer a student, but you still like the student podcast because Bill puts out great content, man, give back. It's time to lead.
Yeah.
It's time to help organize. It's time to get on a local council. It's time to volunteer your time. People took care of you while you were there.
Right.
Now it's your turn.
Yeah.
Give back to what's been given to you.
Yeah.
And I think, it's hard because particularly medical students, they're out of school, then it's residency and life's chaos, and you kind of forget, and I get it, and that's fine. So I'm reminding you, jump back in. We need you. A lot of your peers need you. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hurting students right now. There's a lot of hurting doctors and dentists and PAs, PTs and OTs and NPs and nurses and everybody, CNAs, they're all, there's a lot of people, and we know there's a ton of people who need to know Christ,
mm-hmm.
and our best witness as believers is how we do life together.
Mm.
And other people seeing that and coveting that, saying, man, I don't know who these four people are. They love each other. I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be one of those four.
Yeah.
And then we need to see who's looking at us and invite them in. The gospel.
Well, that's great. So. That's a good bow to put on this and to finish up our time. I'm thankful for you, Corey. Of course, your faithfulness and continuing to lean in and press into where God has called you and being faithful in that. I'm thankful for your local ministry leadership council that is continuing.
Yeah, they're great.
Oh, like I said, we don't do this alone and we don't
do it
in isolation.
We didn't talk about them and we're out of time, but man, I wouldn't be able to do a dime without them. So,
fair enough. I totally agree.
Man, they're rock solid.
The great people, great hearts, great ministry and passion and excitement for the Lord. So thank you again, and thank you all for listening in on this conversation on this episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. See you next time.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.